Good morning, Honey Ridge family, and any friends that might be joining us today. We're going to continue in our study of the book of James, and we're going to be looking at applying the Word of God today. James's readers were looking for strength to face their trials, and James was able to tell them where to find it. It was in the Word of God. The Word that had the power to save them was still available to them. But the availability of the Word and having the Word was not enough. And so James explains why. And so I want us to turn to James chapter 1, verses 22 through to 25. And I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. Verse 22. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. And so we see that James tells his readers that listening to the Word of God is important, but it is not enough. The NIV translates this passage as, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. This section in James is about being obedient to God's commands and the blessing that obedience brings. But it also has a warning. It has a warning about self-deception when we hear God's word and fail to act on it. Let us consider what Jesus taught his disciples about doing. In John 15 and verse 14, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. In Luke 8 and verse 21, we read, but he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So Jesus calls those who hear his word and do it his friends, his mother and his brothers. But he also taught his disciples a foundational truth to be lived out about hearing and doing. In Matthew 7 verses 24 to 25 we read, therefore anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it did not collapse because its foundation was on the rock. Notice what Jesus said, that everyone who hears these words and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. In this illustration, if we to be wise and stand firm amidst the storms and the difficulties of life, there must be both hearing and doing. And so hearing is clearly not enough. What did Jesus teach his disciples about hearing without doing? Well, he continued in verse 26 and verse 27. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the wind pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. And so James echoes his teaching when he says that we are to be doers, not hearers, only deceiving yourself. Bishop Browning said, to deceive is bad, to deceive yourselves is worse. It is a sad day when churchgoers fool themselves and become hearers only. Many of us mark our Bibles, but does the Bible mark us? In one of Spurgeon's sermons, titled Before Sermon, At Sermon and After Sermon, he said, I am convinced that countless people within the church listen to the word week by week, and yet it is not planted in their heart, and it is evident because they are not acting on it. Sure, they act on the things that agree with their lifestyle, or they act when it's convenient to obey. But when this word confronts, challenges, convicts, or tries them to change, they put it aside and forget it, never putting it into action. In the hearing of the word, there should be a receiving of it, not into their ear only, but into their understanding, into the heart, into the conscience, together with the laying up of this good treasure in the memory and their affections. Ye must receive the word, or it cannot bless you. There are times when we need sober reminders, and maybe we become familiar with God's word, or maybe we've lost our first love. Far too often we don't take God's word as seriously as we ought to. In 1 John 2 and verse 4 we read, "The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' without keeping his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And these words are harsh to the hearers of the word only. But to drive home the importance of this matter of obedience, James likens the word of God to a mirror. Anyone who has spent time reading the scriptures will know that this is true. We cannot look into the word for very long without seeing ourselves for what we are. There are, however, different ways in how we can look into the mirror. And this is what James emphasizes in the next verses of our text. And what he does is he illustrates and he tells us there are two types of people that look into the mirror. And the first person we see is the forgetful looker. And in verse 23, "Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was." The forgetful looker does three things. He looks at himself in the mirror, he walks away, and immediately forgets what he has seen. He forgets what kind of person he is. There's a reason why we look into a mirror, and it's mainly because we would like to see if there's something wrong, if there's a defect, something wrong that needs to be corrected. No lady wants to be seen in public with smudged mascara or lipstick over her teeth. A man certainly doesn't want to go into public with blood all over his collar from shaving. What would you think about a person who looks and sees a problem and then fails to correct it? It certainly doesn't make sense, and that's what James is bringing out. I have several hobbies, and one of them is woodwork and another is metalwork. And on Saturdays, I often cut and grind and I weld metal. I sometimes lift up the welding mask to wipe the sweat away and often end up with a face covered in fine black metallic dirt. Besides a mirror, I have a wonderful helper given to me by God that says to me, "Have you seen your face?" It would be unimaginable for me to leave the dirt on my face and then attend church looking like that the next morning. And so this is the point that James is bringing out, that it is unimaginable if we see something wrong in our lives and we do nothing about it. The word of God commands us to do something. We to take action. We to take responsibility. And there is no more urgent business before us today than addressing those matters in our lives which the word of God has called to our attention. In the sermon this weekend, we read in 1 Samuel in chapter 16 that God does not look at the outward appearance, but rather he looks at our hearts. And the question is it okay to go to church with a clean face, but a dirty heart? It doesn't make any sense. And this is what James is telling those who hear the word and fail to take any action. If we listen and do nothing, we really have not listened at all. The second type of person is the faithful doer. And in verse 25 we read, "But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does." Notice some of the faithful doer's characteristics. The faithful doer is intentional. He looks intently into the word. There is a purpose for him doing so. He wants to find out if there's anything wrong, if there's a spot or a blemish, so that he can take corrective action. The Greek word for looks is parakupto, which means to bend down beside or to lean over, to peer within. It has a sense of looking carefully and looking closely or seriously at something. It seems to indicate that there is a searching inspection. And also notice that the faithful doer perseveres in it. It is not an occasional glance, but rather a thoughtful and ongoing discipline as he continues to do so. He's not forgetful, but he is a doer who works. The purpose of his penetrating gaze is to know God's word intimately with a view to putting it into practice. And so then we see that James switches from speaking about the word to the perfect law of freedom. The perfect law that James refers to is not the Old Testament law of Moses, but rather the words of Christ, the truth that will set you free. And in John 8 and verses 31 to 32 we read, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" We cannot leave James's words about this matter without noticing the promise that he attaches to looking carefully into God's word. "The one who does so will be blessed in what he does," in verse 25. The promise, however, is conditional. The blessing is not for those who forget, but rather for those who hear and apply God's word to their lives. They hear and they act in full obedience. This might pose a question for some. How do you obey God's word? The answer is not with our strength. It is not that you must muster up obedience to the best of your ability. No. The answer is to receive God's word humbly, to saturate yourself with God's word. Read it, remember it, hide it in your heart and mind. It is about having the right heart attitude to God's word. On our part, it involves submission to the will of God. It involves submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit who is in you. It is with the strength that God provides. Ezekiel 36 verses 26 to 27 tells us, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances." And in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 we read, "For his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." How does this passage apply to you and me today? Well, let's ask ourselves the question, are we forgetful lookers or faithful doers of God's word? Many church members fail in the listening of God's word. We listen to God's word being preached week after week with little change to our lives. We say what a good message it is, but there's little change. Are our lives and our attitudes and our actions any different? Is the examination of God's word followed by genuine transformation of our hearts and lives? Is there a greater love and devotion to Christ and the gospel, fueled by the Holy Spirit? We cannot possibly succeed in the Christian life apart from the regular intake of God's word, but we can and need to go much further than merely listening to God's word. God's word today is encouraging us to become faithful doers, and I would encourage you to be a wise builder today who hears Jesus' words and puts them into practice. Allow God's word, that is sharper than a two-edged sword, to be that mirror that reflects deep into your heart and soul. Look intentionally into that mirror with purpose and see if there's anything wrong that needs to be changed. I would encourage you, there is blessing for obedience. Be a faithful doer of God's word today. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you've given us today, a word that would encourage us to be doers of the word and not just merely listen. Lord, forgive us for the many times where we've been so complacent. Lord, we've heard your word and yet it's had little effect on our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would transform our hearts, our minds and our attitudes, that we would look intently into your word with a purpose of wanting to be changed by the power of your Spirit. And so, Father, we ask that you would encourage us today to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.